Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I'm going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text Number 32. Etat
Samsuchitam Samsuchitam
Brahmans
Brahmans
Tapa
Tapa
Praya
Praya
Chikitsitam
Chikitsitam
Yat
Yat
Ishvare
Ishvare
Bhagavati
Bhagavati
Karma
Karma
Brahmani
Brahmani
Havitam Etat Samsuchitam Brahmans
Etat Samsuchitam Brahmans
Tapatraya Chikitsitam
Tapatraya Chikitsitam
Yat Ishvare Bhagavati
Yat Ishvare Bhagavati
Karma Brahmani Bhavitam
Karma Brahmani Bhavitam
Etat Samsuchitam Brahmams
Etat Samsuchitam Brahmams
Tapatraya Chikitsitam
Tapatraya Chikitsitam
Yad Ishvare Bhagavati
Yad Ishvare Bhagavati
Karma Brahmani Bhavitam
Karma Brahmani Bhavitam
Etat Samsuchitam
Brahmams
Tapatraya Chikitsitam
Yadishvare
Bhagavati
Karma Brahmani Bhavitam
Etat Samsuchitam Brahmam
Etat Samsuchitam Brahmam
Tapatraya Chikitsitam
Tapatraya Chikitsitam
Yad Ishvare Bhagavati
Yad Ishvare Bhagavati
Karma Brahmani Bhavitam
Karma Brahmani Bhavitam
Ladies
Etat Samsuchitam Brahmam
Etat Samsuchitam Brahmam Tapatraya Chikitsitam
Yadishvare
Bhagavati Karma Brahmani Bhavitam
Etat
Etat
This much
This much
Samsuchitam
Samsuchitam
Decided by the learned Brahman,
Brahman,
O Brahmana,
O Brahmana,
yesterday, Tapatraya,
Tapatraya,
three kinds of miseries,
three kinds of miseries,
Chikitsitam,
Chikitsitam,
remedial measures,
yet,
what?
What?
Ishvare,
Ishvare,
the Supreme Controller,
Bhagavati,
under the personality of Godhead,
Karma,
one's prescribed activities,
Brahmani,
unto the great,
Bhavitam,
dedicated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Brahmana Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Please repeat.
O Brahmana Vyasadeva,
it is decided by the learned,
it is decided by the learned
that the best remedial measure,
for
removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities
to
the service of the Supreme Lord,
Personality of Godhead,
Sri Krishna. So what's the word used here for learn it? No, I mean in here, in the sense. That's a pretty good guess. What is the word samsuchitam mean? What does suchi mean?
Pure.
Clean. Pure or clean. And what does sam mean? Like in Sankirtan. Complete. So what does samsuchitam mean? So if someone is completely pure, what happens? They wash their hands. Something must happen when you're completely pure. What do you become when you're completely pure? What is your vision like? So is that learned?
Self-realized.
Yes, you're self-realized. So that's the word here. Probably translates it as learned. In other words, you may not have your academic degrees, you may not know very much, but if you're completely pure, then you're actually learned. And if you're not completely pure, then you're an illusion, so how can you be learned? For instance, if we don't know who we are, how can we claim to know very much? We don't even know who we are. So samsuchitam means learned, and what is the word for three kinds of miseries? Yeah, tapa traya. Any other verse I remember has tapa traya in it? Yes, that's right. What verse is that? Yes. Dharma prayojita kaitavotra nirmatsarana satam vedyam vasavam atra tra mulanam mulanam means to uproot the threefold miseries. And what is the word for dedicating one's activities? What is the word for dedicate? What is the word bhavitam? Bhavitam is the word for dedicate. So bhava also means more or less exist, to be alive. So if you're actually alive, what is real existence is devotion. If we're not devoted, we're not really alive. Therefore, people become devoted to something, whether it be a dog or a football team or something, just to feel alive. No devotion, no life. Imagine, that's why when they put people in solitary confinement, there's nothing to devote themselves to except for four walls. And it's hard to fall in love with four walls. And what's the word used here for the person? One's prescribed activities? Karma, yes, karma. And this personality of Godhead? Yes, Ishvara. Bhagavati, yes. Like both of them. Ishvara means the supreme controller, and Bhagavati means the person who has all opulence. So both things here. First, we dedicate ourselves because Krishna is God. And if you don't, he has a lightning bolt and he throws it at you and you're finished. It may not be exactly a lightning bolt, but if we don't dedicate ourselves to Krishna in the beginning, then we're in Maya. And what happens when we're in Maya? We suffer. At least I suffer. I don't know about anyone else. Theoretically, anyone who's in Maya, as soon as it says What is that verse? As soon as you turn your face away from Krishna, Krishna Vahirmukha Boga Vanchakare Nikatista Maya Tare Nikata Japatiyadare. That Krishna Vahirmukha Boga Vanchakare. That as soon as we turn our head away from Krishna, our consciousness away from Krishna, then at once Maya, who's standing there, Nikatista Maya, Japatiyadare, Maya kicks us. So now, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Shri Narada Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path to salvation or get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. So Narada Muni will tell Vyasadeva about when he was a little boy and he heard the Bhagavatam. Sometimes people ask the devotees, how did you become a devotee? Well, we become devotees just like Narada Muni when we submissively hear the Bhagavatam. This is the only remedial process. Therefore, if we think there's some other process that will help us out of illusion, well, good luck. The entire material world existence is full of miseries. Doesn't sound very optimistic. Foolish people have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures removing the threefold miseries pertaining to the body and the mind, pertaining to the natural disturbances and in relation with other living beings. In other words, Nityarana Krishne Paratakshatova Mito Vipadyeta Griha Vratana. Everyone is facing some difficulty. So if you feel right now that you're facing some difficulty, you're not alone, if that gives you any comfort. Everyone is in distress, and if you're not in distress, then you're crazy or you're self-realized. But most people are not self-realized. It says only madmen and self-realized people can be happy in this world. And it says we're inventing so many remedial measures. Mostly the remedial measures are simply distractions to help us forget that we're suffering. For instance, they spent $65 billion to become distracted by the Olympics. That's right, $65 billion. If we ask them for 10 kuna, they'll laugh. We don't want to waste our money. But to distract people, they'll spend $65 billion for the Olympics. 65 billion pounds, actually. That's a lot heavier than dollars. And what is it? Just people jumping, people swimming, people running. Actually, everyone is running from Yamaraj. But no matter how fast they are, Yamaraj is going to catch up with them. At least it's Yamadutas. They're trying so hard to get out of the miseries of material existence, but it doesn't work. If we tell them, we say to them at the Olympics, we have a solution to all your problems, that during the games we'll recite the Bhagavatam to make all these games have some value to them. Maybe right now they wouldn't appreciate it. Maybe in the future they'll have a Bhagavatam reciter at the Olympic Games. The whole world is struggling very hard to exist out of these miseries, but men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plan or remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. Prahlad Mahārāja says, Balasya neha charanam pitaro nishinha nartasya chagadam udhanvito majitao nao tat privedir ihanjashestas Kvadvido tanubritam bam upekshitana. That we may have very nice parents and they may try and take care of us, but still a child may have very nice parents and they may try very hard to take care of the child, but still the child may die. We may have an expert doctor and he may have expert medicine and we may take it regularly, but still we may die anyhow. And we may have a strong boat. Nothing can sink it like the Titanic. And yet it sinks anyhow, and most of the people aboard die. Without the sanction of the Supreme Lord, the Upekshitana, if he neglects us, then we're finished. And even if he saves us, we die anyhow. Therefore, even the remedial measures that we seek to stop the threefold miseries, they won't be effective unless we take shelter of Krishna, either temporarily, or if we actually take full shelter of Krishna, then we fully get out of all the miseries permanently. To cross the river or the ocean by a suitable boat, the remedial measure to cure a patient by medical treatment is useless if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. To cross the river or the ocean by a suitable boat is no remedial measure if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. We should know for certain that the Lord is the ultimate sanctioning officer, and we must therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord for ultimate success, or to get rid of the obstacles on the path of success. Generally, first we have to get rid of the obstacles on the path to success. Now, what are the obstacles on the path to success? People think their enemies are the obstacle. I want to get this position, and there are so many people competing with me to get this position, or to get this wife, or to get this husband, or to get this money. And if I eliminate my competitors, then all the obstacles are gone. Ultimately, if I eliminate everyone, then all my obstacles are gone. If it's me and nothing else, then all my obstacles are, I have no more obstacles. That's really what it gets down to. My enemies, my competitors, and even in the material world nowadays, people think that their own bodies are an obstacle. They think my liver doesn't work. The doctor says, don't worry, we can cut it out. My stomach doesn't work, we'll cut that out. My lungs don't work, well, we have plastic lungs now, and we'll give you a plastic heart for no extra cost. And ultimately, we'll give you a plastic brain. And when all else fails, we'll just get rid of your body. We'll either freeze it, or we'll find out who you really are, what your digital code is, or what your internet address is, and we'll just put that on our computer, and you'll live in our computer, and hopefully the electricity will keep on going. So as long as there's electricity, you'll live in our computer. And we have a nice little room for you in our computer. It's 25 gigabytes, so you should be pretty comfortable. And we have a whole set of virtual reality prasad offered to a virtual reality deity. And there's virtual reality air, and everything should be all right for you in virtual reality, virtually forever. But the real obstacle is what? Prahlad Maharaj says, there is really no enemy in this world except for what? The uncontrolled mind. And when is the mind uncontrolled? How does it become uncontrolled? Were we born with an uncontrolled mind because we just didn't get the right mother or father? I was born like that with an uncontrolled mind. How does our mind become uncontrolled? What's the first step of an uncontrolled mind? What's that?
Dayato visheyam pumsam.
Yes. Dayato visheyam pumsam. First we get bored. And then we look around and look for what? Generally we look for the goddess of fortune. Or we look for two-handed Narayan. And then once we get Narayan or Lakshmi, or nowadays, other things are possible too. But generally speaking, it's Narayan and Lakshmi. And then we need our Vaikuntha planet, we need our Garuda, we need our expansions, we need so many things to make everything Vaikuntha. Because in Vaikuntha, Narayan needs so many things, so we need so many things too. Otherwise, how can we compete with the actual Lakshmi Narayan? We told them we didn't need them, and now we're going to prove it. So we look around, Dhyayato, Vishayam, Pumso, Sangha. But then we become attached. Sangat Sanjayate. We become attached to something. Yes, that's what I need. That's what was described on the television set today. This is exactly what will make me happy. It's the same make and model that I always wanted. And I need it. I definitely need it. And therefore, now I need some inspiration called lust. And as soon as lust is there, we become dizzy. Everyone looks very beautiful or handsome. And then we become interested. If we can't get what we want, we destroy all the obstacles called anger. And after all this endeavor, lust, anger, greed, our minds become bewildered, deluded. We have a whole story behind how we came to where we are. A whole biography we can write. All to justify what I did in order to get whatever I did for my sense gratification. It's described in poetry, it's described on the internet, my lust, my anger, my greed, it's all glorified everywhere. At least I tried to. But it's all part of delusion. We don't realize actually what we're talking about. One time, Prabhupada was in one gentleman in India, his house, with some of his disciples, who was living there, a very wealthy Indian gentleman. And the Indian gentleman, before Prabhupada and his disciples left, he called his wife and said, "Swamiji, this is my wife." And then he called his children, "Swamiji, these are my children." "Swamiji, he called his grandchildren, these are my grandchildren," etc., etc. The whole room filled up, and Prabhupada whispered to his sannyasi followers, "This is my sex life." That was meant for grihasthas, by the way. In other words, this is my lust, this is my anger, this is my greed, this is ultimately my delusion. I'm so proud of it. And then what happens? We forget who we actually are. We've heard that we're not the body. We heard that Krishna is God. We heard so many things, but now we forgot it. And what's the proof that we forgot it? Is that we act as if Krishna is not God, that we're God. This is my house. This is my computer. These are my children. I can do with them as I want. I don't really have to feel guilty about not sending my children to Gurukul, because I have a whole list, I have a whole book written in my mind to justify not sending my children to Gurukul, not making any effort for Gurukul, not even considering the fact that there should be a Gurukul, not considering that, you know, I should have nice food, I should live in a nice atmosphere, I should be preaching, I should be doing this and that. I figured out why I shouldn't be, I don't really have to serve Krishna. Already been there, done that, seen that, and now I have so many other things to do. And after I do all those things at the time of death, before the Yamadutas can get me, I have my acharya called Ajamil, and I'll follow in his footsteps and chant Narayan real loud so at least the Vishnu Dutas can hear it. No, as soon as we go through the process, then we forget. Doesn't matter how many titles we have before and after our names. As soon as we're engaged in the material nature, as soon as we look around to see what's enjoyable, as soon as we become attached to something, then the process follows one after another, and we actually forget who we are, and we forget who Krishna is, and we lose our intelligence. And what happens when we lose our intelligence? Instead of making progress, instead of using our intelligence to take shelter of the acharyas, to take shelter of Krishna, to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to take shelter of the six Goswamis, and through them to take shelter of Krishna, we take shelter of some material activity. It may be very subtle. I'm working for this, for my degree, I'm working for my paying off my house, I'm working for my children's education, I'm going to the gym every day to work for my health. I'm doing so many things that may be considered, from the worldly point of view, very laudable, and they may be even be able to be utilized in the service of Krishna. But if Krishna is not there, if the goal is not to please the acharyas, if it's not to please Krishna, then it means I've lost my intelligence. I've lost my goal. And instead of connecting with Krishna through these activities, instead of making progress towards Krishna consciousness, I'm going from wherever I'm at, generally I'm going down into the lower modes of material nature. This is not a feel-good class, by the way. Once a year I give a feel good class, but this is not it. So he is the ultimate sanctioning agent of all good or bad effects. We should therefore learn to dedicate our activities under the mercy of the Lord and accept him either as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It does not matter what one is. One must dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. So it doesn't matter who we are. It's not that I am an American, or I am from Croatia, or I am from Bosnia, or I am from the moon planet. It's not that I'm a man, or I'm a woman. It's not that I'm a rich, or famous, or poor, or infamous, whatever. The whole idea is if we agree to dedicate whatever energies we think we have, we think belong to us, and simply return them by dedicating them to Krishna, that's all that's necessary. We don't need anything other than what we already have to become perfect. All we need is the understanding and the conviction that we should dedicate everything that we do have within our sphere of influence to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's actually no advantage to having one thing or another. The only advantage is to have the intelligence to dedicate things to Krishna's service. Hanuman was a monkey, and yet who can become more perfect in devotional service than him? Similarly, on the beach, when they were throwing the rocks into the ocean, there is one squirrel or spider, depending on which version you read, and completely dedicated to the service of Ram, who Lord Ramachandra considered to be on equal level with Hanuman. If one is a learned scholar, scientist, philosopher, poet, etc., then he should employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Do not decry him and try to become like him or take his position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. So generally, if we have some knowledge about Krishna and we can explain it in a way that's reasonable, logical, and if we can make it interesting, then people appreciate it because this knowledge can actually enter into our hearts if it's properly explained. And then naturally the person who's giving the philosophy, who's presenting it, may think, oh, I am so intelligent, I am so learned, I am the savior of so many living entities, but that's also called illusion. Because everything, including remembrance or forgetfulness, comes from Krishna. So instead of trying to present oneself as a learned scholar, equal in knowledge to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one should simply realize that we are instruments in Krishna's service, and we're simply trying to convince everyone that individually, each one of us, we have a relation with Krishna. It is not that anyone can give us anything better than our relation with Krishna, and ultimately, no one can give us anything because everything is coming from Krishna and from his pure representatives. Krishna, by his mercy, he has empowered his representatives to give himself, distribute himself. Therefore, by Krishna's mercy, each one of us have the opportunity to get Krishna if we want him, or as much as we want him, then Krishna will give himself to us. Therefore, if we have some knowledge, we should tell people that you are Krishna's God. He's not only Ishvara, but he's Bhagavati. First, we have to learn that Krishna is Ishvara. He's the controller. And if we learn how to surrender to him, then gradually, then our understanding of Krishna as Bhagavati will be revealed to us. Not only how Krishna is the controller, but just how sweet Krishna is. First, we have to get free from our envy against Krishna and all other living entities. Envy comes in many different varieties. Sometimes it comes in the variety we think is love or romance, but it's actually enviousness. That I want to capture you and I want to enjoy you because before you looked happy and free, but now I want to control and capture you and enjoy you. And I'm going to do that by presenting myself as your best lover, your protector, your friend, your this, your that. But actually my aim is to exploit you and enjoy you to the maximum, and especially in this age, after I've chewed you out, then I spit you out, and then I look for someone else to enjoy and have a romantic affair with, or a friendship, or something with, so I can enjoy someone else. That sounded like that. Anyhow, I didn't invent this philosophy. So we shouldn't try to claim ourselves to be learned scholars, but whatever knowledge we have, we should utilize in Krishna's service. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka, Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amar Agai Hana Tari Desh. Simply go up to people and tell them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't have to go up to everyone. We can go on Harinam and chant Hare Krishna. That's also presenting Krishna. We can go and distribute books. We can give people prasadam. But when we give them prasadam, we should also tell them that this is Krishna prasadam. It has been offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to convince others, and we have to convince ourselves that Krishna is God. He owns everyone. Even I have a wife and children, it's not that now finally I got my private Lakshmi and I have my private expansions or I have my private Narayan and we go together to worship Krishna in the temple. But it's all mine. this is also not a very good consciousness. There's a superior consciousness. That is the consciousness that my wife is also Krishna's servant, my children are Krishna's servant, and as the servant of Krishna, and as the servant of my spiritual master, I'm acting as their husband. My husband, my children are also Krishna's servant, and as the servant of Krishna, my spiritual master, I'm acting as a wife. Then our activities become perfect. Not that my husband is Krishna's servant, my wife is Krishna's servant, and now I'm going to act as a husband. Or now my etc. No, I simply act as a good wife, as a servant of Krishna, then my life becomes perfect. I act as a perfect husband, as a servant of Krishna, then my life becomes perfect. If one is an administrator, statesman, warrior, politician, etc., then one should try to establish the Lord's supremacy in statesmanship. Fight for the cause of the Lord as Arjuna did. In the beginning, Sri Arjuna, the great fighter, declined to fight. When he was convinced by the Lord that the fighting was necessary, Sri Arjuna changed his decision and fought for his cause. To organize things for the spreading the Sankirtan movement is a fight. It is not sometimes very pleasant. Trying to convince people to do things that they really don't want to do is sometimes very unpleasant. And sometimes it is pleasant if you have that mentality. Get someone to do something they don't want to do by force or by psychology. For those who have that mentality, it's a great pleasure. Fighting doesn't mean that you always take the sword and you cut people up or you point it at them and say, do this. Sometimes it means that you arrange things in such a way as that people want to do something that they ordinarily wouldn't want to do. But it's a fight. To organize things in this world is, in a world of karshati, where everything is a struggle, is a fight. But we should fight for Krishna's cause. We're going to try to organize something. The husband and wife try and organize their house. The teacher tries to organize his school. The businessman tries to organize his business. The temple president tries to organize the temple. Someone's going to have to use their intelligence and organize. Otherwise, we wouldn't have prasadam at least. We may want to be completely free and everything spontaneous, but then we wouldn't eat. So we're not that spontaneous. We need some direction. We need some organization. We need some sense of duty. We need some sense of duty. Before we can come to the spontaneous platform of pure awareness. But we should fight for Krishna's cause. Organize our house, organize the school, organize our business, organize the temple, organize the Sankirtan movement for Krishna, like Arjuna fought for Krishna. So we should fight in the same way. Fight so that Krishna's glories can be broadcast, at least in Croatia or in Europe or around the world or somewhere, at least within our house or at least within my mind. I should organize, Prabhupada said, we should organize our life in such a way is that throughout the 24 hours a day we cannot help but think of Krishna. So even if I think no one wants to listen to me, no one cares about me, even my dog looks at me in weird ways sometimes. But still, we should try to organize our own personal life in such a way that we'll be able to think of Krishna throughout the 24 hours a day. One time, one devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, everyone is criticizing me. So Prabhupada said they criticized Lord Chaitanya. So the devotee thought, well, maybe Prabhupada didn't hear me. So he said, Prabhupada, they criticize me all the time. So Prabhupada said they criticize Lord Chaitanya. That even God himself comes to this material world. It's not that everyone listens to him. It's not that everyone surrenders to him. He said, surrender to me. And people thought they'd take it as a joke. Yes, Krishna says, surrender to me, just like I say, surrender to me. Krishna says, I've come here in a human-like form, and people deride me. And we think the same way. Yes, I've come in a human-like form, and people deride me too. Me and Krishna, we're the same. They did criticize Lord Chaitanya. Krishna, it's not that people came to Dwarka all the time to visit him. Shalva, Dantavakra, Kalyavana, they came to, with millions and millions of people, hundreds of millions of people, to kill Krishna. So if you feel that when you're a devotee, people are criticizing you, they're not submissive to you, they don't listen to you, you're out on the street, you're asking people to take a book, and they tell you to get a job, don't feel bad, because at least they're not coming to kill you, like they did with Krishna. Similarly, if one is a businessman, an industrialist, an agriculturalist, etc., then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. Think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered to be the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayan, or the husband of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of Lord Narayan and be happy. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. So this is very instructive. Generally speaking, we're not going to become great scholars, nor do we have great ability to organize things. But we have a little bit of Lakshmi, a little bit of Krishna's energy. So we have to utilize that. We have to learn how to utilize that in Krishna's service. In the age of Dwarka, in the age of Krita Yuga, Sattva Yuga, people could meditate because they had pure knowledge of Krishna. In the age of Treta Yuga, the Kshatriyas, the organizers, can organize big sacrifices for Krishna. In Dwarka Yuga, people could provide energy service, Lakshmi, to establish big opulent temples for the deity worship. We have a little of all these things, but not very much of any of them. But whatever little energies we have, whatever knowledge we have, whatever abilities to organize, and whatever energies we have, whatever money or other energies we have, we should think it's Krishna's energy. I should try to utilize it in his service. And then it says here, the best thing is, after all, to get relief from all miseries and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. After all, as we go up the ladder, whether we look at it from the point of view of the ages, the yugas, or up from distress to comfort to inquisitiveness to seeking liberation or pure knowledge, going up the ladder, what are we really trying to do? We're trying to get relief from our miseries. We're looking for salvation from our problems. We're looking for a life free from anxiety, free from bewilderment. We don't want to die. We don't want to suffer disease. We don't want to grow old. And we certainly don't want to take birth in some other place which we may not like. We're trying to get free from these problems. So to get relief from all the miseries and to engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. People think these devotees are wasting their time sitting there listening to stories. Or in my case, philosophy. Listening, and they're not making any money. They're not organizing their life They're neglecting their children's education. They're hearing all this meaningless philosophy, and they're being told to donate money to their cause of getting other people to do the same meaningless activities. Of hearing about some Aborigine cowboy in some village in India who lived 5,000 years ago. They're dedicating all this valuable time and energy to some Aboriginal who was born in a prison, who's a known thief and killed so many people and animals when he was younger. They're dedicating all this energy in his service, so they're wasting their time. They're not trying to solve the problems of life. What they don't know is if they dedicated their energies in the service of Krishna, they get free from all their problems. The real self would get free from all these miseries and wouldn't have to work so hard to get free from all these miseries. If we're free from all these miseries, then what would they do? They'd hear the wonderful pastimes of Krishna and they'd be completely in ecstasy on the transcendental platform, relishing these activities. It is said that Raghunath Das Goswami was only eating a little pat of buttermilk every other day. Doesn't sound like a big feast. And that was what his diet was for years. So that sounds quite austere. But it is also said that three times a day in Goloka Vrindavan, where he was actually living in his spiritual body, he had a big feast every day, three times a day. Externally, it appeared that he was quite austere, but he was enjoying on the spiritual platform. We are actually spiritual. We are a spiritual body. We're meant to live on the spiritual platform and enjoy varieties of unlimited spiritual sense gratification. It is said that the six Goswamis, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi Olo the Sannikrito Nidrahara Vihara Kari Vidito Sankhyam Kacheto Chayo Radha Krishna Gunasmritir Madhurima Nandena Sammohito. They perfected their regulative activities of hearing and chanting about Krishna, chanting prescribed number of rounds a day, bowing down with full humility before the devotees. They gave up eating and sleeping. Why? Because they were completely overwhelmed with love, being enchanted by the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. We can't expect to be overwhelmed all the time by the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But we can expect that we follow the process of going by learning how to utilize, dedicating our energies, whatever they may be, in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then we'll gradually become purified. We'll become free from our anxieties, what we think is our problems. It's not that this body won't have problems. The body will always have problems. Whatever body we're ever going to get is going to have problems. But we won't have any problems because we'll wake up and find out who we really are, and it's not this body. Our car may have problems. It may be out of gas. It may be making so many sounds we don't like. It may be running out of, it may hit the sparks, the electricity may be flying. It may even be dead. It is dead. But it won't bother us too much if it's not our car. If it's our car, if we think it's our car, we'll get bothered. But we'll get bothered less than if we think we are the car. Aham car. I am the car. But if we think it's someone else's car, then we're not even bothered at all. Who cares? It's not my car. Of course, if it's Krishna's car, we'll take very nice care of it. But if something goes wrong with it, we know Krishna will give us another car. There'll always be problems for every body and mind we get. But if we develop transcendental intelligence, we come to the spiritual platform, then it won't be our problem anymore. It's simply the problem of the vehicle Krishna gave us for his service. And if he wants, he'll give us another vehicle, or we'll simply get out of the vehicle and we'll serve Krishna directly in our spiritual body. But in case of the absence of such an opportunity, one should try to engage everything in the service of the Lord, everything for which one has specific attraction. That is a way of peace and prosperity. So we've looked around in the material world since time immemorial. We've become attached to so many different things, higher and lower. We've become attached to sense gratification, or the liberation, or the cultivation of knowledge. We've become attached to so many things. So now let's utilize those things in Krishna's service. Let's stop looking around for other things to get attached to. We're really attached to enough things. But now, instead of renouncing everything artificially, now let us utilize those things in Krishna's service. And what will be the result? We'll get peace and prosperity. If we utilize whatever we have in Krishna's service, then gradually we'll become purified. We'll get more and more close to peace and more close to real prosperity. The word samsuchitam in this standard is also significant. One should not think for a moment that the realization of Narada was childish imagination only. It is not like that. It is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars that this is the real import of the word samsuchitam. Real knowledge is that which will purify us. That which will come bring us gradually out of our anxiety, out of our bewilderment, out of our so many different goals, other than to become Krishna conscious. That is the process that devotional service is meant for. And somehow or another, if we can utilize whatever energies we have and utilize them in that way, then gradually we'll come to the perfect stage. And the Bhagavatam class, or our service, whatever we're doing, it'll all become just like nectar. But now it's not going to be like that all the time. Therefore, we have to use our intelligence, understand this philosophy, learn tolerance, and try to go progressively forward so that we're not fooled anymore by our own minds, and now we're not misled by others' conceptions of life. That we stick to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, our previous acharyas, Prabhupada's representatives, and go forward towards ultimately reviving our loving relation with Krishna and ultimately with every living entity. That's the goal of the Sankirtan movement. So, Kuala. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, it says in the last line, it is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars. What is Prabhupada referring to there? That Narada's realization is confirmed or realized by expert and erudite scholars.
Well, for one thing.
What is he referring to?
Well, I can't really say exactly who he's referring to. If he had someone particularly in mind.
Or one category.
Someone like Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva was sitting there. Who could be more erudite and learned and scholar than Srila Vyasadeva? Yet there was something wrong. Therefore, Narada Muni came. He didn't tell him to study anything more. He didn't tell him to do anything else. He just told him to utilize whatever you have already, but simply dedicate everything you have in the service of Lord Krishna. That you've glorified so many things, but you've glorified too many things, but you haven't glorified them in relationship to service to Krishna. Therefore, although you are some sushitam, you're completely pure and you're enlightened, he was in Brahman realization, to now concentrate on Krishna. Forget about all these things you've written about in the Vedas that are now disturbing your mind. You're worried about what's happening to people, but just understand that you've done your duty, you've presented to the Vedas for those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, but now you yourself and others concentrate on Krishna. Forget about, this is the best service you can do to all living entities right now. Simply write something that will teach people to concentrate on Krishna completely, just like I did, and that will be the best remedial measure. Get free from all the miseries. Yes. Is that right, Mark?
Okay.
You had something else in mind?
Kind of ambiguous,
it's
probably
about saying. Yeah, well, I mean, it's ambiguous to me, it's probably, to you, it's also ambiguous to me.
I also thought of yesterday. He's actually talking about that is actually the meaning of the word realized by expert and erudite scholars, or is he actually talking about Narada's realization? Is he talking about the word, or is he talking about Narada's realization?
Well, I think he's talking about both. After all, it's Etam Susushitam Brahmams. We're hearing from Srila Narada Muni. We'll hear about his personal life, about how he heard from the Bhaktivedantas, how he took them seriously, and by Krishna's arrangement, he wandered everywhere to try to get experience, found there's no happiness anywhere, and then sat and followed their instructions and try to meditate upon Krishna with full concentration. Krishna appeared to himself, and then he realized, my goal in life is simply to concentrate everything I have in Krishna's service. Anything else? One more question.
I understand that the person's good relationship like that with the life and friends because of lust and because of selfishness. But you're making the
maybe
point.
Maybe not. Maybe in the devotional service we do it. We can take an example about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was interested in propagating, producing children who spread Krishna consciousness. He prayed for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. Sometimes we have Devaki and Vasudev or Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda. So those are our examples for the devotees. Why we get married, why we have children.
No, in general, but primarily yes. Because you were speaking about envy. I don't understand how people go in this relationship because of envy.
Well, because envy is the basis of the material existence. We're envious. We think everyone, everything here should be and is existing for my sense gratification. And when it's not gratifying my senses, we become envious of it. It's a type of envy. Ultimately, we're envious of Krishna. That how can Krishna be everywhere enjoying everything? We think we should be everywhere enjoying everything. And therefore, we're looking for something within our limited realm of capability to control and enjoy. That's the modes of ignorance and passion. Ignorance we want to control, and passion we want to enjoy. And in goodness we want to be proclaimed as the savior from controlling and enjoying. So it's a type of envy, maybe not exactly the definition of enviousness, where we turn green when we see someone. But it's a kind of subtle enviousness. Therefore, Krishna says, "Idam tu te guyatama pravaksham anusuyuve jnanam vijnana sayatam yad kyatamosha se shubha." Because you are never envious of me, Arjuna, therefore I'll explain to you both this knowledge, both realized and practical knowledge, or theoretical and practical knowledge, knowing which you'll become free from all problems and miseries. So ultimately, this tendency to want to enjoy separately from Krishna is at least due to enviousness against Krishna. And why should Krishna be the supreme controller and enjoyer? I should also be a controller and enjoyer. And here's my victim that I'm going to control and enjoy. Is that right?
Thank you very much. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Prabhupada Ki Jai. Or Premanande.
Jai.